tough American problems, tackled with creative, unconventional American solutions.
Good heavens, I was right. The man is crazy.
This is Unconventional Wisdom with Larry Schiller. Join in the process now by calling Larry at 203-845-3044.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
It's time for a good dose of unconventional wisdom. Here is Larry Schiller.
Welcome back to the show. We have a really interesting show. We're talking about music education in the United States. Should it be compulsory? And what are the issues that are facing our youth and our adults? And you know, in terms of enjoying music and music education, playing the piano, does it help brain development? You know, what's different about our system than in Europe? I'm pleased to welcome Vera Gigi onto the show. Vera is... She plays the cello, although she's a retired professor of English, but she's the author of Cello Playing for Music Lovers. What a great title, sold through Amazon. Vera, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi. Now, I'm going to share, is it okay for me to share your age with our fans?
Yes.
Vera is 82 years old. Isn't that fantastic? And she is still playing the cello. How often do you play the cello now?
Well, I play with three different groups, and one of the groups meets once a week. The other tries to meet every week, but sometimes is interrupted, and the other group meets once every other week.
Now, are these groups chamber groups, or are they
all chamber music groups?
They're all all right. So I have to ask you, since you're a chamber musician, the question that that people always ask me, you know, when they find out that I play the violin, they say, all right, Larry, what's your favorite piece of music that's ever been written? And I know what you're going to answer. Before you answer, can I tell you, and then you tell me if I'm right?
Yes, go ahead.
Right, and have we talked before?
No.
We haven't. All right, so I'm going to guess that it's the Schubert C major cello quintet.
Well, I think you're right. That's absolutely unique. I mean, there's nothing else in the literature like it. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is an amazing piece of music. But, you know, it's kind of, I'm almost cheating because you're a cellist. But that's,
and
for our fans out there, the string quartet is two violins, a viola and a cello. And then when you have a quintet, let's say you add a piano to that. So it's piano, two violins, a viola and cello. And that's called a piano quintet. So you call it a quintet based on the extra instrument. So a cello quintet would be a string quartet plus cello, or two violins, a viola, and two celli. And Schubert wrote this piece that it's really the most amazing piece of music ever written. If you want to try out classical music and you're a fan of the show, go get the Schubert C major cello quintet.
Mm-hmm.
And let me know if our guest Vera isn't absolutely right on the money by thinking that's the most beautiful piece of music ever written. Well, tell us a little bit about your life. You started with a piano, I understand.
Yes, because my mother was from Europe. She was an immigrant, and she believed that little girls should be able to play piano. It was part of a respectable upbringing.
Where was your mom from?
Hungary.
You know, they were wonderful musicians and composers from Hungary.
Mm-hmm.
And so you played piano, and of course that was what people did. Right. In 1930, they when they had children, they had their kids study instruments.
That's right. And my mother was poor. It wasn't that she had a lot of money. And my father was a tailor. She was a dressmaker. And we lived in a walk-up apartment, fourth floor. And there was a couple in there, and they had a new baby, and they didn't have room for their piano and the new baby. And it would have cost them $5 to have the piano taken out of the apartment. So my mother paid the $5, and the piano was moved from their apartment to our apartment.
Amazing.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And my mother's brother had married a piano teacher, fortunately for me. So although my mother paid for the lessons were very inexpensive. And
so that's
how
you kept
I
it all in the family.
Lessons. Yeah.
Your aunt gave you your lessons.
Yes, that's right. And
now,
then I was very lucky because some guidance counselor noticed that I was playing music and said, would you like to try out for the High School of Music and Art? And, of course, I said yes. I was accepted, and that's where I learned to play the cello.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the High School of Music and Art. Now, there are so many famous people that have attended this school, and this was a school started by New York City Mayor Fiorello LaGuardia in 1936.
Right.
And he called it the most hopeful accomplishment of his administration. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't, but I'm very grateful to him for having done that.
Isn't that amazing? So it's a public public alternative high school, I guess. So what they call magnet schools, I guess, today.
Right. But you didn't have to pay a dime. And we had lessons in music theory. We had orchestra from our first semester to our last semester. And we had our cello lessons.
And who was your cello teacher?
A man named Lewis Potter.
Right. I don't know Lewis Potter. Maybe he's related to Harry. He sounds like he was a wizard. But there are people. Well, I just want to name some of the people who graduated from your high school, Vera.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur Rubinstein.
Yeah.
Graduated. Isn't that amazing? Paul Lansky graduated. Oh, my gosh. Wasn't that a gangster? David Zinman, who also went to Oberlin. Gerard Schwartz, famous American conductor. Stanley Drucker, who was the longtime clarinetist of the New York, principal clarinetist of the New York Philharmonic. Eugene Drucker, who's in the Emerson String Quartet that we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Carol Lieberman, the actress?
I don't know her.
Samuel Rhodes, the cellist. Marcus Thompson, the violist. So these are all amazing. Marcus Thompson is at MIT also, I think, right now. I had the pleasure of playing with him quite a bit at MIT. So this is an amazing group of people. Wesley Snipes. So a lot of Billy Dee Williams, Marlon Wayans, Leslie Ann Warren, the actress. I mean, this is Suzanne Plachet went there, Tony Roberts. So this is and you went to that school. So were there people that you knew?
I knew the people in my grade and in my classes, that's all. We didn't mix among grades very much, at least I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
But it was fabulous.
Based on your experiences, I mean, all right, so your mom said, look, you're going to play. You probably didn't object too much. Today, though, kids, look what they're doing. They have hours of homework.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing sports every single day. You know, you hear about soccer moms and soccer dads. I mean, the parents are driving all over Kingdom Come for their kids.
Right.
How do they have time to even play an instrument today?
It's very hard. It really is. I have a grandson who is just about 10 and one who is just about 8. And both of them are studying musical instruments. And if they get to practice 20 minutes a day, that's about as much as they can do. But they both love it. That's the
all right,
point.
So what are parents helpless here? Is there anything that parents can do for their kids to develop this?
Yes, absolutely. I think parents should themselves enjoy music. Even if they can't play an instrument, they can play a CD player. And if they listen to music, children will hear that, and they will learn to love it.
Okay, especially, so step number one is to play some classical music in the home, you're saying?
I'm saying that, yes. And then take them to a live concert so that they can see this magic being made.
So call Diane Wittry. Go get seats to see the Norwalk Symphony if you're in Fairfield County or wherever you're listening in the world. Go find a local orchestra.
Right.
The experience is amazing. Now, how young do you think a child is, or what's the youngest, I should say, a child should be before it's safe to take them to a symphony orchestra concert?
Well, Stephen Isselis, do you know him? He's a very good cellist. He runs concerts for children, and I started taking my grandsons when they were 5, and they just loved it.
Ah, okay, so 5 years old. And now, some people say in Europe there are places where they take, you know, of course, babies do end up going to these concerts because they had no place else to go. But, you know, even 2, 3, 4 years old, kids who are exposed at that early, early age probably end up with some advantages over others who are not experienced. And also, by the way, I think you raise a great point. Take them to the concert. Going to a concert, and this is what Maestra Wittry said, which is it's an experience. It's a social event. And the impulses into the brain are magnified by the fact that you're not just sitting in the same old bedroom listening to your CD, but you're out there getting all new impulses through every possible sense while listening to this music.
Right, and seeing the musicians produce it.
My
grandson had an assignment for school. He was to take in a glass jar, and I had to put some things in it that would make sounds when the glass jar was shaken.
Uh-huh.
And we had so much fun with that. We had beans, we had rice, then we tried other caps, metal caps. And he liked the metal caps best, so he took that to school. But what a wonderful experience. And all the kids in the school did that, and the next day they played with them.
You don't have to be rich.
You can find music everywhere.
And just think how much better that is than... I'm not knocking video games or, you know, the apps on iPhones and Droids, but you can't reproduce that, can you?
No, you can't. And once you've learned how to read music as a kid, you can do what I did, which is after I retired from teaching, 44 years later, I went back to it and started again.
You mean you didn't play the cello for 44 years?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. So because you learned it as a child... It's the old thing with the bicycle, right? You can always get back on. So after 44 years, you still had that memory in your brain, and you were able to get back to it.
Absolutely.
I love that. Now, tell us a little bit about, in the minute we have left, Cello Playing for Music Lovers.
Well, it's a book that you can use because it comes with a CD, and every single musical example is played on the CD. So you can check to see whether you've got it right or wrong. If you can work with a teacher, it's even better. And I've gotten wonderful letters from people expressing their enthusiasm and thanking me for writing the book.
Now, if you're just starting playing the cello, is this a book that you could use?
Yes. I assume that you don't know anything. You don't even know how to say cello. I tell you how to pronounce it.
That's great. So, that's fantastic. So that's actually great advice for parents who want to do the best they can for their kids. Go ahead and get this book, Cello Playing for Music Lovers. Start playing the cello and pronouncing it correctly, and get out there and set a good role model for your children, really, is what that's all about.
Yeah, it's great.
Maybe that's what we need. Vera, thank you so much for joining us. You've been wonderful. And, I hope we'll get to play the Schubert C major together sometime.
Oh, anytime. Just let me know.
All right.
I have to practice.
Thank you again, Vera.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Larry Schiller for Unconventional Wisdom Radio. We'll be right back.